Hi guys, what's up? It's Brittany and welcome to One Hot Mess. Today's episode, there is a trigger warning. The stuff that we will be discussing today is about self-destructive behavior. So if you are someone who is prone to self-destructive behavior or self-harm, please be aware that this episode may be triggering. Okay, so yes, today we're going to be talking about why people engage in self-destructive behavior, some traits, types, and how to stop. All right, so the field of mental health is composed of many smaller parts, not all of which are considered a condition to be diagnosed. And self-destructive behavior is one of those components. It's seen as a symptom of other underlying disorders that a person may be experiencing. Though there have been studies that confirm this behavior is part of a certain disorder, there's an absence of solid evidence that self-destructive behavior exists in people without underlying dysfunction or psychological diagnosis. Now, there are a few studies or documented evidence that a typical person who meets the criteria for mentally and emotionally healthy will engage in self-destructive behavior. And it's important to understand that this does not mean it doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen enough in people that would be considered mentally and emotionally healthy to be cited as a solid statistic. But self-destructive behavior, it covers a wide variety of types and severity of behavior, ranging from drug and alcohol abuse to self-harm and social isolation. And it may be intentional or subconscious, impulsive or planned. It can be either an action, series of actions, or even a way of life that causes psychological or physical harm to the person engaging in the behavior. It may start off small and escalate, even going as far as leading to death for some people. And the best way for a person struggling with self-destructive behavior to reach a favorable outcome is through early identification, intervention, and treatment. So emotional pain and trauma are some of the most common reasons for people to engage in this behavior. The person substitutes healthier coping mechanisms for harmful coping mechanisms because it may feel better. It may make the person feel more numb, allow the person to mask their genuine feelings, or they may just not know how to cope in a healthy way. They may also use self-destructive behaviors as a form of punishment for a lack of control over themselves, their world, or their actions. And this type of self-destructive behavior also ties into what is considered to be a cry for help. The person may not know how to ask for help and engages in a visible destructive action to signal that they are in distress and that they need help. A person who engages in this behavior may not be thinking from a rational or conscious place. They may be addicted to the feelings and feel a compulsion to engage in that type of behavior. And as we all know, the world is a chaotic place. People get tossed, turned, and dragged down paths they may not want to walk, and not all of them are good or healthy. And those that feel out of control of themselves and their life may engage in destructive behavior as a means to feel as though they have control. They may not have control over what their boss does, what their spouse thinks, whether or not they lose that job, but they do have control over what they put in their body and how they treat themselves, that person may not feel a compulsion or have an addiction to self-harm. They choose to do it almost as an act of defiance in the face of whatever is making them feel like they are out of control. Now, there is a more difficult facet of this type of self-harm. And regular self-destructive actions can become a part of a person's personality. The person may cease to see it as a thing they do as a coping mechanism and instead see it as a part of their identity, which makes the problem that much more complicated to fix. And the question of what causes this behavior is an infinitely complex one because of how broad of a category self-destructive behavior is. It can extend into every facet of life: friends, family, romantic, chemical, professional, food, and so many more. And many people who engage in self-destructive behaviors are somewhat aware of their own destructive tendencies, but they fail to do anything meaningful to stop or change them. I mean, they may very well know the solution and make every excuse, find every reason to avoid stopping or changing. And a lot of self-destructive behaviors start off pleasurable. A person may start doing drugs or drinking to feel good for a little while, but as the habit goes on, it stops feeling as pleasurable, or it takes much more for the person to reach the point where they can derive a pleasurable feeling from the activity. Addicts and alcoholics may eventually find themselves needing their drug of choice just to feel normal as their body and brain begins to need that substance to function. At some point, those once pleasurable behaviors cease to be pleasurable and become a detriment to the person's life. Now, not all self-destructive behaviors are pleasurable. As an example, there are people who choose not to control their rage or anger. And of course, that may cost them their friendships, relationships, jobs, safety, or stability. They may see and understand that their anger issues are detrimental to their well-being, but may refuse to change that behavior. And though there is no single driving factor behind self-destructive behavior, the person may have unaddressed trauma or grief in their history. They could have unhealthy habits that have fostered through their general lifestyle. Or they may be experiencing problems that they do not feel comfortable seeking help with. And they may also engage in this behavior to cope with the chaos and difficulty that life can throw our way. What it is not is a weakness of character or a superficial desire to self-destruct. People have this general need to find a reason behind actions or choices, but the reason often isn't clear, or they may be purposely hidden. Now, emotionally healthy, happy people do not want to turn their life out with self-destructive behavior. And if a person engages in this behavior, there is a reason that needs to be addressed with an appropriate certified mental health professional. And though there are some traits that people may share, most people will not fall neatly into a perfectly packaged category. Not all people with self-destructive behaviors will share those traits. So we should avoid trying to cram people into neat packages that they don't belong in. Emotional dysregulation is a phrase that is used in mental health to denote an emotional response that falls outside of the scope of what is considered to be typical. And a person who experiences emotional dysregulation may act rashly or impulsively, display unnecessary aggression, or have emotional reactions that are not in line with what they are experiencing. And emotional dysregulation is often a driving force behind the self-destructive behavior. And it can result from brain injuries, early childhood trauma like neglect and abuse, or a variety of psychiatric disorders and mental illnesses. And people with emotional dysregulation may feel emotions with greater intensity or clarity. They may be a highly sensitive or exceptionally emotional person. And it's not necessarily negative. These people may also be more creative and empathetic than the average person. A person may have grown up in an invalidating, adverse, or toxic environment that may include experience like neglect, abuse, and abusively severe criticism. You know, they may have been exposed to or raised by people who are emotionally unintelligent, invalidate emotions, or who themselves engaged in this type of behavior as a coping mechanism. They may have been exposed to bullying by their peers at school or other social alienation through childhood. Many people do not know how to process and cope with difficult emotions in a healthy way. They may decide to ignore their pain or deny that it exists by just trying to turn off their emotions. But yes, unfortunately, emotions don't work that way. They eventually start to come up to the surface, and some people turn to self-destructive behaviors like drugs and alcohol to self-medicate. And the person may find success in coping with their unwanted feelings in the short term with these behaviors, but they get worse and more intense as time goes on. And upon learning that one of these short-term solutions helps them find relief, the person is likely to go back to that behavior over and over for more relief, which can turn into dependence and addiction. And like I said, there are numerous types of self-destructive behavior, and it would be impossible to list out every example. Instead, there are some of the more common types that people engage in. Substance abuse is one of the most common forms, and it can easily lead to addiction, affect relationships in a negative way, destroy opportunities and employment. It can also lead to other physical and mental health complications. Then we have self-harm, such as cutting, that may be used as a coping mechanism to deal with severe or extreme emotional disturbance. And the person may even get addicted to self-harm. Unhealthy eating. Emotional eating can cause a person to gain weight, which is not only has physical health ramifications, but also may contribute to mental health issues like depression and anxiety. And, regular unhealthy eating habits, too much or too little, can lead to eating disorders like anorexia or bulimia. Self-pity. A person may wrap themselves in their suffering and use it as a shield to try to deflect responsibility, and as a result, it will damage their relationships and life, as they may come to be seen as burdensome to deal with, and they lose out on opportunities. In general, people are compassionate and empathetic, but they always have a limit. And once that limit is reached, it will start to negatively affect the person who uses their problems as an excuse to not try new things or improve at all. A person who regularly tells themselves they are not worthy, whether they believe it or not, may come to believe it as truth and stop taking healthy risks or trying to improve. And the act of self-sabotage is setting oneself up for failure from the start. That may be the result of low self-esteem, as they may not feel as though they deserve to have good things or make positive strides in their life. And a good example of self-sabotage is the eternal pessimist, the person who can always find a reason as to why it's not worth trying, why nothing will never work out. There's social isolation. People are generally social creatures. You know, there are very few people who can survive no social interaction at all. Even the act of being around other people provides different benefits, from stimulating chemical production in the brain. And a person may isolate themselves from friends, family, and social networks as either an active or subconscious choice. They may convince themselves that they do not deserve to have the friends and family that they do, and will act on making it so. And this may look like the person dropping contact and ghosting, or picking fights and engaging in arguments to cause the other person to want to break contact. There's also unnecessary spending. You know, the spending of money can evolve into a self-destructive behavior. Gambling and gambling addiction are well established as self-destructive behaviors. One can also include unnecessarily buying things from the internet, excessive shopping, buying upgrades and currencies for mobile games or apps, or just excessively donating to good causes. Spending becomes an unhealthy behavior when it starts to negatively impact your ability to conduct your life, or if a person feels mentally compelled to spend when they are lacking the means. Neglect of the self. Neglecting oneself is a common and oftentimes severe form of this behavior, and the person may neglect to take care of their physical health, eat a good diet, get exercise, or visit a doctor for either regular checkups or when an illness arises. Neglecting mental health may be refusing to take prescribed medications, attend appointments, or even acknowledge mental health problems at all. You know, the person simply refuses to do anything to protect or grow their health. And they may also refuse any help outside or any advice. And there are some people who use excessive self-sacrifice as an easy way to sidestep hard work. You know, they create this false narrative in their mind that their suffering is the only way that things will work out to be good for others. They stick to that false narrative instead of trying to improve themselves or their situation. It is a means of temporarily to feel good about their self by painting their actions as altruistic, when the person is actually engaging in self-destructive behavior by using denial to avoid confronting their problems. And also, a person's destructive behavior rarely only affects them. They typically spill out into their lives and affect the people around them. Friends, relatives, or lovers may find themselves getting pulled into a helper, helpy relationship with a person who is displaying self-destructive behaviors. So boundaries become an essential part of the relationship. The helper is likely to experience some negative impact on their life or well-being while in proximity to that kind of behavior. And while some people will interpret that as an unkind statement, it is worth remembering that excessive self-sacrifice can also be a common form of self-destructive behavior. There is nothing unhealthy or wrong about healthy boundaries and expectations. There are people who choose to get, you know, wound up in the suffering of others because it gives them a good reason to ignore their own problems, or they are trying to earn love from someone who isn't in a position to give it. Does that mean that a person shouldn't try to be kind or understanding? Not at all. What it does mean is that we must always remember that you cannot help someone that doesn't want to help themselves. And destroying your own life or well-being for a person who won't help themselves is not a solution. It is enabling. Enabling another person's self-destructive behaviors just makes them worse and harder to correct in the long term. And it may also take much longer for that person to realize that they need to make a change if the people around them are tolerating excessive bad behavior. So a healthy support network can make a massive difference to a person's ability to recover and find a better way to heal or manage their wounds. But you have to balance their willingness to help with maintaining their own well-being in the process. The process of self-improvement is long and sometimes difficult. No one really wants to dig through the shadows of their past to unearth the things that have caused them great pain or suffering, but it is necessary. It's necessary because we are all the product of our life experiences, good or bad. The ability to process severe emotions like those associated with trauma or grief is not innate. It's a skill that must be learned and practiced to help unwind those emotions so they can be put to rest. And in all likelihood, that's going to require the help of a therapist for most people. And you know, a therapist can serve as an effective guide to help someone identify and deal with the underlying causes of their self-destructive behavior. And of course, working through things via self-help is possible, but it's way harder and much less likely to succeed, and a therapist is definitely your best bet. Okay, so there is a website where you can connect with a therapist via phone, video, or instant message. There's plenty of them out there, and you have already engaged in some self-love just by listening to this episode, and you're ready to take the next step and get the professional help that can make all the difference if needed. And you don't have to sacrifice on the quality of the effectiveness of the therapy, because you can get access to a fully qualified and experienced professional. And if someone you love is engaged in self-destructive behaviors, the best choice is to direct them towards the professional help that they need as well. Okay, guys, that is it for today, but thank you so, so much for listening. Please make sure to hit that follow button, and please share One Hot Mess with a friend. I'd greatly appreciate it, and I will talk to you guys next time. Have an amazing day.